The first reading for this, the fourth Sunday of Easter, comes from the Acts of the Apostles, the second chapter. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Christ has risen from the dead. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands.
He has put all things under his feet.
The epistle reading comes from the first letter of St. Peter, the second chapter. This is a gracious thing, when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if, when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel, which serves as the text for our sermon this morning, comes to us according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Grace to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, for the last couple months, life is pretty much been on hold for everyone, hasn't it? We've been social distancing, sheltering in place, isolating, self-quarantining, whatever you want to call it. We've been hunkering down at home, avoiding contact with others, and keeping to ourselves. There have been some huge changes in people's schedules and routines. We haven't been able to gather together as a congregation. We haven't been able to meet with loved ones and friends. It's been difficult, to say the least. And I don't think anyone would really describe the last couple months as living the good life or living life abundantly. We've been getting by, surviving, doing as well as can be expected, and that's about it. But now, we're back. By the grace of God, it looks like there might be some light at the end of this long, dark tunnel. For many of us, restrictions have been lifted or at least eased. We are able to move about a bit more freely. We're able to go see family and friends again, go to our favorite stores and restaurants again, with proper social distancing, of course. We've waited for this so long. We've endured this hardship, this meager type of life. We have prayed for weeks that God would restore our normal lives to us. And now we give thanks that He has graciously done so, at least to some extent. And while we are grateful for being able to come together again as a congregation and for the looser restrictions on our lives, let's face it, we want more. We want it all. We are anxious to get back to full-on normal. We're eager for this whole thing to just be totally over, where everyone can go back to the way that things were, where all social distancing is something that we talk about only in the past tense. We're ready for hugs and handshakes again. We're ready for sporting events. We are so ready for Pizza Ranch. After weeks that felt like years of just getting by, we are ready to once again have life and have it abundantly. But is that really all that God has given us here? Did we pray for this quarantine to end just so we could have a social life again? Just so we could walk the aisles of Walmart without fear? Is the abundant life that Jesus speaks of in our gospel lesson, that He promises that He came to deliver to us, is that it? Is it just about crowds and gatherings, earthly pleasures and comforts? Is that what Jesus came to this earth to deliver to His people? I mean, that might be what comes to mind for us when we think of having life and having it abundantly, wealth and riches and comfort and ease. But if that's all that Jesus brings us, it's really not that great. Because as we learned in March, all that stuff can go away very easily and very, very quickly. Life in Christ is not about earthly riches and pleasures like our sinful hearts would imagine abundance is. As our good shepherd, yes, Jesus absolutely provides us with a bounty of earthly blessings. Comfort and safety, family and friends, food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. All that is needed to support this body and life is granted to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. And not just the bare minimum to get by. No, we have luxuries and extravagances that are not necessary, and yet they are freely given to us by Jesus, so that life is enjoyable and fun and joyful. But that's not what Jesus means when He says that He has come that we may have life and have it abundantly. Because as great as all those things are, as much as they absolutely are gracious gifts from God, those things are temporary, and they won't last. And what's worse, our sinful nature very quickly turns those gracious gifts from God into idols, into things that distract us from God rather than lead us to thank and praise Him. Our wicked, greedy, sinful hearts, they will never be satisfied by earthly treasures because we will always want more. We will always want something different, something better. We will never be content with what we have. You know, at the end of February, if you had asked me to describe my ideal week, the perfect week that I wished I could have had, I probably would have said, you know, just staying at home. Nothing to do, nowhere that I have to go, watching Netflix all day with my family. Turns out that gets old really quickly. What was my dream week just a couple months ago has become my nightmare reality. Because that's how our fickle, sinful hearts work. We are never happy with what we have. And what we want will never give us happiness even when we get it. Our good shepherd, He knows that. He knows our hearts. He knows the temporary nature of earthly gifts and the joy that they bring. So that's why he doesn't just deliver those to his beloved sheep. That's why he's not talking about some worldly baubles and doodads here when he promises that he has come that we may have life abundantly. But sadly, that blessed truth doesn't stop us from wishing that that's what he's talking about. We are so earthly, so materialistic, even as we stand in the stark reality that these things don't last. We still want more. We still hope that Jesus is just a magic vending machine who's going to give us stuff. We love to hear people who tell us that God promises an easy life for believers. We love to read Scripture in a way that tells us it's all about earthly joy and treasure. We flock to false teachings that satisfy our itching ears, that tell us God's love is displayed in luxury and opulence in our lives, that we can do whatever we want in this world and God is okay with it. We don't want a good shepherd who actually corrects us and gives us what is actually good for us. We want the lazy babysitter who gives us candy, puts us in front of the TV, lets us stay up as late as we want as long as we don't bother them. But what good does that actually do us in the end? The world, Satan's lies, sinful pleasures, false doctrines, human twisting of the Bible, all these things, they're all thieves and robbers, promising a full life and delivering only sorrow, disappointment, and condemnation. One of the biggest lies that Satan has convinced us of is that sin is somehow good. That by not sinning, we're missing out on something great. And that any shepherd who tells you not to do something, well, they're just a mean old fuddy-duddy. Do you know why the devil wants us to think that? Because he wants you to enslave yourself back to sin again. He wants you to doubt God's goodness. He wants you to think that God is somehow keeping you from the good stuff. But he's the cool uncle who's going to give you everything your heart desires. These lies, whether they come in the form of fake Christian teachings, satanic whispers, or just the internal urges of our own sinful nature, they lead only to death and will never be satisfied. They are thieves and robbers trying to steal us away. They seek to lead us away from the Good Shepherd, convince us that they're a better shepherd, that we don't need Jesus in our lives. But Jesus, and Jesus alone, is the Good Shepherd. He and he alone has come so that we may have life and have it abundantly. Not a life of debauchery and hedonism, not a life filled with luxuries and wealth, because that's actually not the good life at all. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, came to us so that we may have life and may truly have it abundantly. So what is the abundant life that Jesus so freely gives to us? Well, life in Jesus Christ is abundant in peace, in security, in assurance, in safety, in joy, in forgiveness and salvation. His word guides us through this valley of the shadow of death, warning us of the dangers of sin, keeping us from the traps and snares laid out for us by the devil. His holy presence gives us peace, even in the most tumultuous times when everything else is uncertain, as we know that things are still in his almighty hands. His love gives us eternal treasures, even if every single earthly gift is stripped away from us completely. In a world that's filled with death and darkness, uncertainty and terror, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, gives us certainty. Gives us joy, peace, strength, assurance. In short, he gives us life and gives it abundantly. He is the Good Shepherd who gives us not what we want, but what we need and what we can get from nowhere else. Because all we like sheep have gone astray. We're all sinners. We all rebel against God's word. We run away from him. We kick and we scream at his ways. We wander off and try to find our own way. We accuse God of being unfair. And yet, out of a steadfast love for his sheep, the Good Shepherd does not leave us on our own as we deserve. He continually calls out to us, seeks us out, brings us back to the safety of the fold. He lifts us out of the precarious situations that we put ourselves into, continues to care for us and provide for us, even when we claim that we don't need him. Not by filling our lives with everything our hearts desire, because our hearts desire some pretty lousy stuff that will kill us and make us miserable. But he does so by giving us eternal blessings that will never fade away, blessings that can never be taken from us. Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd, does more than just give us a handful of goods. He lays down his life for the sheep. As sinners, we deserve for Jesus to turn his back on us, to leave us to the wolves and the thieves out in the wilderness. But instead, he took all that sin upon himself, carried it in his own body. The sin that should have separated us from him forever, he took it upon himself. Every blemish, every shortcoming, every wrongdoing, every ounce of guilt and sin that should have cast you out of God's presence forever, he took it from you and laid it upon himself. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, carried your sin to the cross, and there he laid down his life for you, and for me, and for all sinners. He took upon himself the punishment that should have been ours for all eternity. He gave his life to save us. He shed his innocent blood to wash us clean, to take away our guilt, to restore us in the eyes of God. Jesus Christ, true God in our flesh, suffered and died in your place, paying your penalty in full, so that you could be declared holy, innocent, and righteous, could be given the free and undeserved gift of eternal life in heaven. Because while the Good Shepherd does lay down his life for the sheep, he also takes it back up again, giving us not just hope, but the absolute guarantee that we too shall rise from death. I mean, the wages of sin is death. And so at some point, we are going to die. Whether it be from COVID-19, cancer, old age, bus accident, or rabid weasel attack, something's going to take us out. But by grace, through faith, all those who look to the cross and empty tomb of Jesus Christ will rise again to new life, eternal life, abundant life in the unending paradise of heaven. No more pain or suffering, no more fear or uncertainty, no more pandemics or social distancing. Just the eternal joy of being fully in God's presence, worshiping him for all eternity with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. This is the abundant life that Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd, has come to give to us. And when our last hour comes and we lie down in the sleep of death, by grace through faith, we will awaken to that unending, abundant life in heaven. And even now, here in the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for our Good Shepherd is with us. He comforts us, fills our lives with joy, gives us unquestionable security and peace. Not just with a bounty of earthly gifts and treasures, though he certainly does give us those, but with his steadfast love, with his word and sacraments, with his mercy and grace, and his holy presence in our undeserving lives. No matter how much or how little we may have in this world, no matter how uncertain or trying these times might be, no matter when or how our lives might come to an end, by grace, through faith, we have life, and we have it abundantly. For by the cross of Jesus Christ alone, by his empty tomb alone, you are forgiven of every one of your sins, and eternal life in heaven is yours. Thanks be to God. Amen.